Chapter 95, A Priest Plans a Pogrom. A few days after his father was set free, Leib Segal set off for Warsaw in a fancy carriage. Upon his arrival, he met with senior officials and complained about the unfair treatment his father and the others had received at the hands of the governor of Vitebsk. Leib Segal met with a number of important officials, including the princes Radzivill and Lubomirski. The princes had many dealings with Jewish businessmen, whom they treated with genuine respect. The princes and officials were disturbed by Leib Segal's complaint against the governor of Vitebsk and immediately offered to help. They were especially angry at the way Reb Avraham, Leib's father, had been treated because they knew him very well. They decided to give him an official title of honor in order to protect him from any future attacks. When the governor of Vitebsk discovered what Leib had done, he flew into a fierce rage. He decided to prove to everyone, and especially to the rulers of the country, that he had done the right thing to arrest the heads of the Jewish community in his city. While the Jews of Vitebsk were davening in shul one Shabbos morning, they suddenly heard this loud ringing of church bells. This was a sign for their Christian neighbors to gather at the local church. The Jews were used to being disturbed by the deafening sound of the bells they rang each Sunday morning in Vitebsk. But why were they ringing now? Why was the priest calling all non-Jews together in the middle of Shabbos? The Jews were worried. They had not yet recovered from the imprisonment of Reb Avraham and the four community leaders. What new trouble was the priest creating for the Jews now? All too soon, the Jews discovered that their worries had not been without cause. Not long after the unexpected ringing of the bells, the Jews learned that the priest had given a fiery speech against them. The Jews buy goods from the wealthy landowners for cheap and then sell it to us at ridiculously high prices, the priest had screamed. The simple people standing respectfully before him took his words to heart. The time has come to crush these non-believers once and for all, he continued in a roar. The priest presented a string of lies about the Jews. He was trying to turn the residents of Vitebsk against their Jewish neighbors, among whom they lived and worked every day. Many of the men in his audience worked extremely hard to make a living and did not have the intelligence to conduct their lives in a wise manner. After listening to the priest's speech, they felt that they had finally discovered why they were always so poor and miserable. It was all the fault of the evil Jews. When the Jews heard about the speech and the angry reaction of the crowd, they hurried to shut themselves inside their homes until the anger died down. They had learned from experience that at times like this, when the threat of a pogrom hung in the air, it was best to avoid meeting a non-Jew face to face in the street. The Jews later found out that the priest had told his listeners that he would explain the details of the Jewish plot against the non-Jews the next day on Sunday morning. The Jews were relieved that at least a pogrom would not occur that day, which was Shabbos. However, they did worry about what might happen after Sunday's speech. The men gathered to think of a solution. The women and children remained hidden at home, terrified at the thought of a pogrom. This was all the plan of the governor. He had ordered the priests to stir up hatred against the Jews. He needed the residents of his city to attack the Jews, who would then desperately try to protect themselves. The city would be filled with violence and confusion. Why did the governor want to cause a pogrom? He wanted to be able to explain to the government officials that the reason he had arrested Rav Segal and the heads of the Jewish community was only out of his sense of responsibility. He had to protect the Jews from danger. He had seen how angry the Christians were at the evil Jews who stole from them, and the only way to calm the Gentiles down was to arrest the Jewish leaders. The proof that he had acted correctly was that as soon as the five Jews were set free, the Christians of Vitebsk had attacked all the Jews. With this excuse, the governor hoped that the officials would forgive him for falsely imprisoning Reb Avraham Segal and the community leaders. It might even make him look good in the eyes of the government. Yosef Yitzchak, the Eloi of Sharia, who had recently become engaged to Devor Leah, was of course alarmed at the threat of a pogrom. He was also extremely surprised. He knew that when the five Jews were arrested, the Baal Shem Tov had promised that the situation would be resolved in exactly 10 days. He was confident that the Baal Shem Tov's words meant that everything would end well for the Jews of Vitebsk. But look what had happened. No sooner were the five men freed than a new trouble fell upon the Jews. Far greater danger than the first. The more he thought about it, the more he believed that also this calamity would quickly resolve itself. If the tzaddik had said that the trouble would end, then it certainly would not lead to an even greater danger. More likely, it would somehow put a real end to the Jews' problems once and for all. Sunday morning dawned, and before long, the church bells began ringing, calling all the non-Jews of the city to hear the priest's terrible speech against the Jews. 2 hours later, the bells rang again, but this time, they had an entirely different sound. One that was used to announce a celebration in the city. Town criers walked up and down the streets, even in the Jewish areas of Vitebsk, calling on the residents to prepare to welcome an important official who would soon be arriving in the city. All residents without exception were instructed to leave their homes and come greet the honored guest. The mood in the city had abruptly and totally changed, and all the priests' carefully chosen words against the Jews flew out of people's minds as they dressed in their best clothes and hurried to the main street. The reason for the important visit was only discovered later. As it turned out, when Zev Wolf, the renter, had learned of the priest's effort to spark a pogrom against the Jews, he had hurried to the governor's mansion. The governor knew that Zev Wolf had business dealings with important officials in the government, so he welcomed him respectfully and listened to him carefully. "Listen to the words of a good friend," Zev Wolf told the governor. "It is not at all wise for you to make problems for the Jews of your city for no other reason than to obtain money to lend to some people at the top levels of the government. It would be best for you to immediately order the priests to stop stirring up trouble against the Jews. In the end," Zev Wolf warned, "it will all come back to you. Any trouble that results will be traced to you, and you will be forced to pay a heavy price. It is simply not worth it." Zev Wolf was used to dealing with noblemen and princes. They often needed his help and advice in various matters, and so he was not afraid to tell the governor the truth. He spoke politely, but also firmly, in a way that impressed the officials with whom he dealt. "Let me tell you something else," Zev Wolf told the governor. "The next time you try to raise money to lend to your friends in the government, the people you approach will want to know what has been happening in Vitebsk and how the Jews are being treated." As they were talking, a messenger arrived to inform the governor that a high-ranking official would soon be arriving for a surprise visit to Vitebsk. The purpose of his visit, the messenger told the surprised governor, was to investigate the arrest of the five Jews. The official was especially interested in making certain that his good friend Avram Segel was not being mistreated. The governor of Vitebsk sat quietly for a while, deep in thought. He realized that Zev Wolf was right. Why did he need to cause problems for himself? Did he really need to turn the city upside down just to be able to lend money to some bribe-loving officials?